Today, as we celebrate this glorious solemnity of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, we first of all have to put things into a context. Our Lady, for most people, is best known for the brown scapular. And if you don't have a brown scapular on, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you get one on and keep it on, because Our Lady has promised that anyone who dies wearing a brown scapular will not go to hell. So get one on and don't take it off, ever. Wear it into the shower, keep it on in bed, every place. Don't take it off. It's the clothing of our Blessed Lady. She's a mom. She has taken care of us, and a mom clothes her children. And that's exactly what Our Lady has done with a heavenly clothing, to be able also to remind us of the yoke of Christ that our Lord told us to take upon his shoulders, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he asks us all to come to him. It's exactly what Our Lady does, bring us to her Son. But in the meantime, we also recognize that there is more to our Blessed Lady of Mount Carmel than just her brown scapular. That scapular was given because the order of Carmelites was in trouble. It was dying out. They were a group that started on Mount Carmel. There's actually been hermits on Mount Carmel since the time of the prophet Elijah. So remember, Elijah climbed Mount Carmel. It's actually a 23-mile little mountain range. It's not just a mountain. So on the one end, down by the sea, which is at Haifa in modern-day Israel, he climbed the sea, climbed the mountain. He was praying at his servant go up and look out to the sea, and on the seventh time said that there's a cloud that's coming up out of the sea. And that it had been 3.5 years since any rain had fallen, and so this was the sign that the drought had ended. But if you read in Scripture today, it will say that it was like a man's hand. But if you read the Latin, the Vulgate, it says it was the shape of a man's foot. And so they recognized that this was the fulfillment of what God had said, that the woman would crush the head of the serpent with her heel. So they understood that. Our Lady was the cloud. Jesus was the rain. She carried the rain that would end the drought, bring about life once again into the land. So we have all of that going on with Mount Carmel. But the word Carmel means the garden of God. It is a green, lush mountain, the northern part of Israel. But Our Lady is the garden of God. She is the one, perhaps one could say, that is spoken of in the Song of Songs, that is the garden enclosed, that enclosed garden opened only to be able to receive the Son of God, as she received him into herself and gave birth to the Son of God so that we could be saved. And yet in that enclosed garden, she does exactly what we hear St. Luke talking about. Says she kept all of these things in her heart and she pondered them. That's the whole point of Carmel. It is about pondering the Lord. The Carmelite order is a contemplative order. It is about focusing on the Lord. It is about knowing God. So I mentioned that, okay, the Carmelites, they started there on Mount Carmel. Persecutions and difficulties as they came along, they moved into Europe. And that didn't go so well, because the way that they were living religious life on Mount Carmel was very different from the way that the monks lived religious life in Europe. On top of that, their habit looked pretty funny compared to all the habits in Europe. It was three stripes, basically. It was white on the top, and then a large middle, and there was a black stripe going across, and then the bottom part was white again. And so they didn't fit in with anybody. Surprise, surprise. So anyway, the order was in trouble, and the superior of the order then prayed and asked Our Lady to intervene, to be able to show him if something was going to be happening for the order. And she appeared to him at the end of novena and gave him the brown scapular. And so they changed the habit to the brown habit. The scapular then is something anyone and everyone can wear, and the order was saved. Now, many people have never heard of a Carmelite. They'll say, a what? Well, one of the most prominent saints in the church that you've all heard of was a Carmelite, and that's St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower as she's known. She took her name from St. Teresa of Avila, who was a Carmelite, in fact, reformed the Carmelite order. St. John of the Cross was a Carmelite. And so there are names that we all know, but we don't even know, or we've never heard of a Carmelite before. Interestingly, if you go out to Lake Elmo, we have the best Carmelite monastery of nuns in the world, right here. And most people in the Twin Cities don't even know that they exist. Most Catholics have never heard of them, and there they are. They are an extraordinary group, and they're there to pray. That's exactly what their life is. It's prayer and penance. So in silence, like that garden enclosed, they are living their lives for our Lord. But it is in union with and in imitation of our Blessed Lady. And so it is there to which every one of us is called, because your soul too is to be that garden of God. Your soul is to produce the fruit that the Lord is looking for. And so it is to be a garden. And so one can look in the Song of Songs, and the garden is full of flowers and the fragrance and so on. But our Lord also talks about bearing fruit. And so that obviously has a different form of a garden. So however it is he wants to work in your soul, that's up to him. If he wants you to be a vegetable garden, then be a vegetable garden. If he wants you to be a fruit garden, be a fruit. If he wants you to be a flower garden, be a flower garden. Let God decide what kind of garden he wants you to be. Your task is to cooperate with him. Your task is to be that fertile land. He's going to plant that seed within you, and he wants that to grow up and produce 30 or 60 or 100 fold. He wants your soul to be the garden of God. And so allow, if it has been a drought for you, allow the rain to fall. Allow God's grace to enter in so that you can bear great fruit. That's what it is that he desires. And turn to our Blessed Lady, because she's the one who has done this perfectly. She's the one who will teach you. She will bring you to her Son. That's how she got the name. Remember, as I said, there were these hermits that were on Mount Carmel from the time of the prophet Elijah. It wasn't until the 12th century AD that they had an actual rule and began living more communally, but nonetheless, they had been there all along, and they were devoted because of this vision the cloud that Elijah saw rising up. They were devoted to praying for the future mother of the Redeemer, praying, of course, for the coming of the Messiah, but they knew that he had to have a mother. And so they were praying for the woman who would bring the Messiah to the world. And their prayer was fulfilled, obviously, but they had an opportunity when St. Joseph and Our Blessed Lady were coming back up to Nazareth. They went by the way of the sea, the Via Maritima, as it's called, and that brings them right to Mount Carmel. And then if you go along Carmel inward, so that to the other end of Carmel, then from there is the Plain of Megiddo, and on the other side of the Plain of Megiddo is the town of Nazareth. So from here, standing up on top of the interior end of the eastern end of Mount Carmel, you can actually see Nazareth from there. The Plain of Megiddo, by the way, is in the Book of Revelation called Armageddon. So it's the place where the final battle is going to take place. That's where Jesus came. That's where Our Lady and Saint Joseph were. And so Our Lady then came to Mount Carmel, the mother of the Redeemer, bringing Jesus with her, obviously, and these monks who had been devoted to her, praying for her for all these centuries, were able to see the fruit of their prayer, that it was fulfilled. That's how she was able to receive that title. And the order has continued ever since. So going back to the prophet Elijah, they would look at themselves as the oldest order in the church. So the Benedictines tend to look at themselves, because Saint Benedict is the one who started Western monasticism. The Carmelites would say, yeah, well, that was in the 4th century. We go back 15 centuries before that. And so it's an ancient order. It is a contemplative order. It's an interesting mix of things because it has that Jewish foundation. It also has an Eastern aspect to it, and it has a Western aspect to it. So it's a fascinating kind of thing, but it is primarily contemplative. And so it is to go inside, enter into that enclosed garden, which is your soul, and there unite yourself with the Lord and allow Him, through the grace, to water that garden so that it will bear great fruit.